And this morning, rather than Luke's Gospel, which you've been following for many, many weeks, we're turning to John's Gospel, John chapter 12. Still part of the roots material, but we're going to look at today and just consider today is something that Luke does not record at all in his Gospel. Matthew does it, Mark does it, and John does it. John more personally and individually than either Matthew or Mark. So we turn to John 12, and we're going to turn to those first 11 verses. And this is what the word of the Lord says. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus arrived at Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served, while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages. He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. Leave her alone, Jesus replied. It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. Meanwhile, a large crowd of Jews found out that Jesus was there and came not only because of him, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests made plans to kill Lazarus as well. For on account of him, many of the Jews were going over to Jesus and were putting their faith in him. There is an old saying, isn't there? There's none so blind as them that don't want to see. Let's just pray before we consider God's word. Heavenly Father, we bow in your presence. May your word be our rule, your Holy Spirit our teacher, and your greater glory our supreme concern, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Bethany. It's a stopover at Bethany. You know, we recall that Jesus was on his last route to Jerusalem. And he was going there to die. For your sin, for mine, for the sin of the whole world. But Bethany was a stopover. And John in his Gospel brings our attention to this stopover here at Bethany, where a dinner was being prepared in honor of Jesus. He'd come to old friends. The sisters Martha and Mary, we know well, and their brother Lazarus were dear, dear friends of Jesus. And when he went to Bethany to visit them, it was, it were, we would say, to take time out, to share it with friends, have a meal together, to relax together. And here he was coming for this very, very purpose, for this last meal that he was going to share with them. You know, John, in his Gospel, what, 21 chapters of John, more than half of those deal with the last few days of Jesus' life on earth. So much of John is concerned with Jesus' last few days. And we see him, we look at chapter 12 of John in that time scale. That's exactly what it is. And as we've got here, it's 6 days before Passover. You know, Passover time, crucifixion day, 6 days to go. And that's where we are in this this town, this village of Bethany. John doesn't tell us that Jesus is at the home of the three. It's implied in the reading, but he doesn't say so. Not really important. He was with his friends. And we read here in God's word about Martha. I'm not going to say anything more about Mary and Martha. Much has been said about Mary and Martha. Oh, some complimentary, some not so. I'm not going to add to that in any way, shape or form. But as we look here, we see that the event is about Jesus and Mary of Bethany. Now Martha's there. And what's she doing? He says Martha served. You know, God has given us all gifts and talents. It's not everybody's gift and talent to stand in front. It's not everybody's gift and talent to prepare in the back room for those who are going to come in. God has given us all gifts and talents. And we use them for his glory. And he is Martha. And it says she served. I've got a mental picture of a lady at my house, my dear wife, who will be also in that place, I think Martha was, in the kitchen. She's preparing our lunch. So if I disappear very fast, you'll know why I've gone. But there she's serving. And here is Martha serving. And Mary was serving in a different way. Both were serving the Master in a different way, according to their personalities and according to the giftings that God had given them. But the Word of God invites us to look at this event involving Jesus and Mary. He says, look at this event. Look at what is going on here in this house with 6 days to go before he's arrested, put through a totally mock trial and nailed to the cross for you and for me. We are witnesses of the grateful love of this family. And in particular, in this account, to Mary. An expression of that is which was then going out from her heart to her Lord. That's what she's doing. James says, you know, when I became a Christian at first, I had great trouble with James's gospel. He was a little bit too practical for me on occasions. You know, when you're having trouble, rejoice. Pardon? Is that how it should be? Yeah, that's how it should be. It says it here in God's word. He also says, doesn't he, through the Lord, the Holy Spirit, faith without works is dead. Yeah, we're not saved by works, we're saved by faith. To do the good works that the Lord has called us to do. Faith without works is dead. Martha showed her faith. She's busy in the kitchen. Mary showed her faith. She's at Jesus' feet. She was always there when she got the opportunity. At his feet. That was Mary. You know, and our actions display who we are inside. Our actions show our value system, our belief system. And this is what we're seeing here in this lady of Mary of Bethany. And I just want us to look for this time we've got together here at three particular elements of this event. This expression of grateful love. How is it expressing itself? Well, it's expressing itself in quality. The quality which marked it. It's going to express itself and does express itself in the sympathy which guides it. And it expresses itself in the memory which crowns it, this grateful, grateful love. So looking at God's word, and looking at that first point of saying, we're looking very much at the quality which marks this grateful love that Mary asked for Jesus. In verse 3, let me just remind you what it says in verse 3. Then Mary took a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume, and she poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. Judas reminds us, there's a year's salary there. Expensive perfume. You know, nard was imported from India. And nard was used very much to anoint kings. That's what nard is. That's the level that nard has. When you dab it behind your ears, it's expensive. I suppose, in a sense, and I'm very ignorant about perfumes, I must admit. But I imagine that this is the first century Chanel number 5. If that'll fit. Maybe that's been superseded. Now, maybe I'm showing my age by saying Chanel number 5. Someone said, what do you mean Chanel number 5? Not 50 mils. By 10. And more. A pint. Half a litre. A pure nard. A year's wages. And she pours it over Jesus. She pours it. And the treasurer of the disciples, the thief, the liar, the supergrass complains. Yeah. He complains. Jesus said on one other occasion, it were better he had never been born. He's consigned to hell. He strongly objects to this extravagance. Sheer extravagance. Oh, it would have bought a lot for the poor, they're sure. It would have done a lot. But for the grateful love inside Mary, it was for Jesus. Whatever you say, Judas, whatever you say, Peter, whatever you say, John and James and the rest of you, this is for Jesus. And she did it. And she was accused of extravagance for Jesus. When I got to that part of my sermon preparation, I asked myself a question. And I ask it of you. Have you ever been accused of extravagance for Jesus? I had to answer no. To myself, no, Lord, I haven't. Never. This dear lady is accused by everybody present, except the Savior himself. What a challenge. What a challenge Mary of Bethany is. Oh, we often hear the accusations, all this Bible is male-orientated. Look a bit deeper at the women in Jesus' life and around him. Here's one. What disciple, what male disciple outdid this act of grateful love? Not one. No. The sheer extravagance of the quality of Mary's ministry to her Lord. And verse 3 also tells us this, isn't it? And the house was filled with the fragrance. We got the extravagance, and now we've got the fragrance. The fragrance filled the house. I don't know what size of a house. We don't know, no idea what size this house is. But think of your own home, thinking of getting a pint of the best perfume, pouring it out and saying, can you smell it? Can I smell it? Blooming heck, the neighbours can smell it. It's overwhelming. Fills the place. If anybody in that group didn't see Mary do what she did, and that's probably very doubtful, they would know soon enough what she did, won't they? Wow. It would smack their nostrils. Oof. The very fragrance filled. We've sung it, haven't we? The fragrance filled. There's a wonderful, well, it's all wonderful. God's word is what it is. But listen to this from Paul's second letter to the believers in Corinth, and in chapter 2, just part of it. And he says, "But thanks be to God who always leads us in triumphant procession in Christ, and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of him." It pleases the Lord to spread the fragrance of him through you and me, Christian. Not me, Lord. Why don't you pick me? Says it. The fragrance of the knowledge of him comes through his people, the body of Christ. For we are to God the aroma of Christ. Have you ever thought of yourself as about being the aroma of Jesus to the Father? It's overwhelming, isn't it? I know. You know yourself like I know myself. Sometimes, Lord, that aroma's not what I think it should be. But to the Father, because of Jesus, we are the aroma of the Son. That's what we are. Among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. We're either being saved or we're perishing. To the one we are the smell of death, and to the other the fragrance of life. You know, we stand before God accountable for ourselves. And we know individually whether we are that fragrance of life or the other. You know, no wonder when we find them, it's been prayed already, believers around the world are marginalized, done to death, imprisoned and tortured for Jesus' sake. Because they have the smell of death. The cross, curse and an offense. It is to Islam. It is to other religions. It's a curse. It didn't happen. It's the very center of the gospel. And you know, the very fact that we look at that and say that I don't like you, Christian. You're the smell of death, that's why. Because every time you tell me and I see you, I'm reminded that you are telling me I'm a sinner and I'm hellbound and I don't like it. But we who belong to him because we've been born again are to the Father the very aroma of Jesus. And I stopped again in my preparation and asked myself another question. Jack, do you smell of Jesus? And I ask it of you. Do you smell of Jesus? Is that what people pick up? That's who you are? Somebody says yes, with both hands in the air. Oh, the extravagance. Oh, the fragrance of the quality of Mary Bethany's love for Jesus. But we said there's also another point, the sympathy which guides that ministry and the wisdom it reveals. In verse 7 of that reading, we can read again these particular words in verse 7. And we can find as we look at that Mary knew exactly why Jesus was there. And it wasn't just to enjoy a good meal. For it says here in verse 7, and from verse 7, that it was intended that Mary should anoint Jesus while he was there. You know, the male disciples, and that's what I say, the 12, had problems. Had problems with Jesus saying, as he did, as he got to a certain stage on that journey to Jerusalem, at a certain stage he said, I'm going to be accused, and I'm going to be done to death, and I'm going to rise on the third day. Oh, you remember Peter? Peter said, no, never. Won't happen, Lord, won't happen. He said that, didn't he? When Jesus looked at him, there in Matthew 16, he looked at him and he said, he didn't say Peter, he said, Satan, get behind me. I don't know how Peter felt. I don't know how he felt. It'll never happen, Lord, you're not going to do that. Oh, Mary of Bethany knew. This lady disciple knew that Jesus was on his way to the cross. And she was going to anoint him for his death. You know, we read in the Gospels, on the first day of the week, on Resurrection Day, some of the women went to the tomb. What were they going for? They were going to anoint his dead body. He wasn't there. He's risen. You anoint the dead. Mary anointed the living because she knew that within 6 days he would die. This dear Mary says to you and to me, doesn't she? Take time out to sit at Jesus' feet. Metaphorically, take time out. Oh, there is things to be done, as it were, in the kitchen and other places. We all have other things to do. But take time out to be at the feet of Jesus. There is, in Christian busyness, a real danger. There can be a real danger in Christian busyness. We look at our diary, we look at the events, we look what we've got ongoing on here this coming week, what all the things that we have to do. Oh, we're busy in the work of the Lord. By Jove, aren't we? Are you busy, or are we busy with the Lord of the work? Are we sat at his feet? For it's that gives us the strength and the capacity to get on with the work. Mary says to us, take time to be at Jesus' feet. And as I was writing those and making notes to myself, and I said to myself, Jack, what are your priorities? What are they? What are they? Oh, how difficult it is to get the balance right, isn't it? Oh, Lord, help me. I'm trying. Yeah, very trying. Yeah. I'm trying. It's that consciousness, that awareness. Oh, that we never make it as we would love to make it. Don't do yourself down too hard for that. It's what's in your heart. Lord, I want to do it in your name. I want to do it for your glory. I want to do it in your time and in your way. And I need to spend time with you, with your words. In the quiet place. She revealed terrific wisdom. She knew why her Lord was there for this final meal. And she was anointing him for his death. And it was welcomed. This sympathy that went out, this feeling, this grateful love, was welcomed by her Lord. Leave her alone. I don't know if he said it like I just said it. I do it like that to emphasize it to myself. But he didn't always speak softly, I'm sure. When one had to be rebuked, you got rebuked. Leave her alone. You know, Matthew and Mark themselves, they record that. Where John just records, leave her alone. Matthew says, why are you bothering this woman? She's done a beautiful thing to me. And Mark takes them both together. He uses them both. He said, leave her alone. Why are you bothering this woman? She's done a beautiful thing to me. She incurred the displeasure not only of Judas, but if we look at those three Gospels, she incurred the displeasure of the disciples, those who were there. But she got the praise of a Savior. You know, sometimes, Christian, doing the Lord's work can incur displeasure of other Christians. If you've had that experience, you'll know fully about it. They don't understand, they've misunderstood me, whatever. But that can happen. And it happened to Mary of Bethany. She made her preferences. She made her choices. And that again came to me, Jack, what's your preference? What is your choice? Are you bothered too much about what the people of your fellowship, Jack, think about you? Or how the Lord regards what you're doing? Which is which? And just as Peter and other disciples didn't understand the Lord at times, if we're in the centre of his will, we're going to find that experience as well. There'll be believers who don't understand. Which may cause as a problem. But think about those words. Leave her alone. She has done a beautiful thing for me. And it's got to be finally the memory which crowns it. That enduring memory. Of course it's enduring. What she has done will be told in memory of her. We're 2,000 years down the road and we're talking about her. We are living examples of the words of Jesus Christ. That's what we are today. What she has done will be told in memory of her. Of her. This of her. She has done the beautiful thing. She has done it. And it will be told. Mary did it because she loved her Savior. Mary did not do it for vanity's sake. She didn't do it, I'm sure, to have a blue plaque outside her house. This is the place where Mary of Bethany. No, that's what the guide does when you go around, isn't it? She didn't do it for that. She didn't do it for money. She didn't do it for fame and attraction. And status, she did it for love. That love of her master. And what anybody else says or condemns, it's out of my heart, Lord Jesus. I do it. Because you are who you are. Contrasting against that very expensive Chanel number 5. Was the old lady in the temple courts, and Jesus standing there, you remember, with his disciples, and he's watching people put the money into the temple treasury. And he observes and said, there's some rich stuff going in there. And then along comes this poor widow. And he says, she puts in what? 2 small coins. Do you remember the farthing? 1/4 of a denarius, 1/4 of an old penny. Well, I don't know if that's the equivalent, but 2 small coins. And Jesus said, that's all she had. And yet he said, she has given more than all these others. Not just one of them. And you know, because they give out of the wealth and she give out of the poverty. Mary, expensive perfume. This dear lady, just 2 small coins. And what mattered is what was here. What was in the heart of Mary? What was in the heart of the little widow lady? What was in the heart? Love. Love. An enduring memory. And finally, an enriching one. Because it says in God's word that wherever the gospel is preached, this woman, Mary of Bethany, will be talked about. You know, you and I, Christian, just a reminder, we're commanded to go and share this gospel all over the world. So where this gospel of sins forgiven and eternal life is preached through our Lord Jesus Christ, this woman, Mary of Bethany, will be remembered. How enriching to be associated with the spread of the gospel. It's about attitude. That's what it is. About motive. About ear. About love. I ask you, do you know? I know there are some who do. I don't come here over often, but I do know that some here who do know the love of Jesus for them. But does everybody know the love of Jesus Christ for you? Let's finish by saying the stopover at Bethany was for that purpose of anointing. For the Lord Jesus Christ to spend time with his friends for the last time. And his love for them came before his concern for himself. His love for you, his love for me comes before his concern for himself. He died that we might be forgiven. He's the one. He said in one of the Gospels to go and to preach repentance and faith in his name. Repentance and forgiveness of sins. Oh, what a joy it is to know your sins are forgiven, isn't it? To have that peace with God. That love in your heart. May in our own lives this love that we have for him show the quality of that fragrance and that extravagance. Show that sympathy, that wisdom, and that welcome, and the memory enduring and enriching, that we might know that not only are we in the center of God's good and pleasing and perfect will, but that he is using us for his glory and for the salvation of many, many souls here in Failsworth, here where we are. And we thank God, I thank God for Mary of Bethany and the challenge to my life today. Does she challenge you? Will you take the risk? Pray that God you will, for his sake. Amen. 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 Thank you, Mary.